Welcome to this Canadian Management Center podcast. I'm Tanya Cervoni. This is the first in a three-part series of brief conversations looking at learning sustainment. In this first section, I want to talk about why having a thought-out learning sustainment strategy is absolutely crucial to getting return on development, but I also want to talk about why it's so challenging. And as the series progresses, we'll get into some specific things that you can do to make sure that the time and effort that you're putting into developing employees really nets the results you're looking for. With me today, I have my colleague Jennifer Azzotti. She's a Talent Development Solutions Manager based in Calgary. She has a Bachelor of Management in HR as well as her CHRP designation, and she's currently pursuing her Master's degree in Adult Education. Jen creates a wide range of customized solutions for our clients, and she has been our lead learning sustainment guru, and I can't wait to jump into the conversation. So Jen, let's start at the beginning. Given everything we know, or at least we think we know, about how people learn, why does learning transfer or learning sustainment remain such a challenge?
I think the best way to frame this up is to talk about a client that we recently worked with. This client had a tough time historically in getting participants to attend training events, and when they did, the training didn't translate into on-the-job results. In addition to that, this client was also going through a massive organizational transformation, and to make this transformation happen, they identified that their people need to be more efficient at collaboration, problem solving, and strategic thinking. This time around, they were laser focused on making sure that the training stuck.
Well, I admire their commitment, and I assume that this is where the learning sustainment strategy came into play?
Yes, exactly. And I can't unveil the entire strategy in this first podcast, but I can talk about some of the things that this client and many organizations fail to consider when planning their talent development initiatives that ultimately lead to little change in the organization.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think it'd be very helpful for our listeners to learn from your experience. And I'm going to guess, based on, you know, what I understand about our learning sustainment framework, that the first mistake people make, if we want to call it a mistake, is not preparing learners for what they're about to learn.
It seems obvious, but that's probably one of the biggest blind spots we have related to learning sustainment, what it takes to really prepare people to learn new skills. We often think of sustainment as the things you do after the training, but according to the research, and research done more particular by Dr. Brent Patterson, 26% of our efforts should be focused on what happens before the learning event. Tanya, this is a shift in paradigm where we usually spend the majority of our time on the actual learning event itself and making sure that people are attending and that the outcomes are aligned to what we want to achieve. But given Dr. Brent Patterson's research, it's really indicative that we need to focus on before and after, and that's what's going to drive behavior change.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I'm not a neuroscientist in any stretch, but I do know that it's easier for people to absorb information that's similar to stuff they already know. So I imagine from a brain perspective that preparing learners ahead of time would help them assimilate new knowledge faster, which I'm assuming increases the chance of behavior change?
Yes, and behavior change is ultimately what we need to create to drive organizational change. So having said that, we know that learners are time-starved, overwhelmed, and distracted. To be able to reach them, we really need brain-friendly learning techniques, you know, putting a neuroscience lens on it. We need to keep these things top of mind. So let me share with you three brain-friendly principles that we follow to drive better learning sustainment. The three are driving engagement, connecting the dots, and interval training. When we think about driving engagement, we want to make the learning relevant in digestible intervals with a variety of approaches in a safe and distraction-free environment. This will boost confidence in our learners, which has been proven as a key ingredient to ensuring that the learning sticks. Connecting the dots is really about connecting learning to real-life experiences that solidifies the learning into long-term memory, allowing for ease of recall and connecting it so that individuals can apply it back on the job. And then thirdly, interval training is about spaced out learning, and by spacing out our learning, it helps us to improve our memory and really our efficiency. So in other words, cramming is not such a good idea.
Yeah, I wish that was something I knew back in my university days, but we all learn the hard way. So it's a good thing to keep in mind. I like the interval training.
So given all this, most of our learning sustainment activities are spaced out in 30-day intervals to allow for practice and really to limit any overwhelm people might experience.
Yeah, and I mean, I think those three are great. And I think the piece about making the training realistic in addition to the spacing it out is critical because, you know, as I think of some of the most important things that I've learned, especially in terms of interpersonal skills, they've really required me to have an insight about myself and, you know, time to reflect on how I interact with the world. So this, you know, I don't think it can entirely happen in a classroom. I think it can start in the classroom, but you really need that time to try things out in the real world and come back and reflect and refine your understanding and skills, you know, over time.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, so if I have understood, then the key takeaways today for our listeners is our, you know, spend the time to think through what will motivate and engage learners up front. And number two would be to prepare their brains to assimilate the information more easily, as well as the need to plan for sustained learning over time that doesn't overwhelm the brain, but that triggers recall. Would that summarize it well?
Yes, you got it.
Well, thanks, Jen, for your insights. I know there is a lot more to say on this subject. So in our next podcast, we're going to continue the conversation and get into some specific examples of how you can engage those learners, even time-starved learners, to ensure they're ready to absorb and retain what you need to teach them. So we do hope that you'll tune in.